This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
That is Michael Jackson and that song Ben that he did when he was 9, 10 years old back then. And Carol, you better keep this copy because all Michael Jackson stuff are selling like hotcakes now. So
yeah.
All right. Anyway, this is the Carol Cox program on a Sunday. It's the last Sunday in June, coming up Wednesday, of course, a brand new month. Right now, here's Carol.
All righty. Thanks, Francis. I have with me today Scott Davis, an intern from Washington State University, and I have also Mr. Louis the Fish, or Denolfo, but Louis the Fish, as we all know him. And we're going to be talking about some of the issues with the Nui Nui Fish Hatchery and some of the actions on DLNR. And on and that you've seen in the news. But I want to offer an apology out there to you listeners. While we had promised to and advertised we would have the director of FEW on our show here today, some difficulties came about. They had to cancel early in the week. So anyway, my apologies, and thanks for joining in with us. But here at KWAI, we're going to see if we can continue to bring some of these subjects and hope to enlighten many of you out there and just share with you. So having said all of that, Louis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm after your protest there. And Scott, you?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah. Well, anyway, What did you guys... Well, I know there are many things you want to talk about, but, Louis, you were anxious yesterday at that rally. You had a rally yesterday. Tell us about that and what triggered that.
Well, we had very little time to prepare, you know. In fact, I think it was maybe only as much as 3 or 4 days before the rally that I got the idea to have the rally. Then I had to get the permit and everything else. So, and we spread the word as much as we could, and we didn't get many people. We got about maybe 15 or 20 all day. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting. We had a mom with her two kids that regularly fishes for the catfish at Nu'uanu. They made their own signs. They came there. They stood there most of the day. We had another gentleman in a wheelchair. Handicapped gentleman who goes to Coquay and fishes for trout on a regular basis.
On Kauai.
Yeah, so we had a little bit of a representative. You know, we had other people that were in Trout Unlimited. We had people that were fishermen here. We had people that represented clubs. Mm-hmm. So we had a good cross section, and it was.
What were you protesting? I mean, we had these people. What's the issue?
Okay, initially when I read an article in Fishing News that the trout stocking was endangered, that the baby trout for next year may die, etc., that they were going to cut the program. I didn't know much about it, and then in the course of about a few days, I found out more about the politics, the money, the federal funds, and so initially I just wanted to save those baby trout and the catfish and all that. Then I started to look closely at the issues, and I said, there's no reason to really close this hatchery. Mm-hmm. It's just some kind of a transparent money grab as far as I can see.
I see.
And so now that rally was really about saving the hatchery. Keeping the people there, keeping the programs there. No change, and there shouldn't be a change.
And so what happened then? What has the ugly snake has raised its head?
We've had the ugly snake raise many heads, so...
And so what has... yeah. What has happened is that you're now looking at the issue of diverting of money, reallocating of monies that are coming from the federal sources, that, and these programs apparently have been funded already. And Scott, you're going to be writing an article for the Hawaii Fishing News, and if you could, what are some of the things that you're finding that Louis is talking about? Anything?
I guess first, in regards to what Louis had just said about the Anuenue facility, after doing an interview with Laura Thielen, the chairwoman for the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DLNR, she says that, quote, the Anuenue facility is not being canceled and the monies are going to be staying for a refocused effort, she says, out of that area, using $3 million less over the next 2 years, mm-hmm. she said, she told me. But I found some paperwork that actually shows that from 2009's grants that they were given to support the fishing areas and sport fishing restoration, there's only a $400,000 less for 2010 than there was for 2009, and $200,000 of that $400,000 difference is a decrease in specific funding for public fishing areas, and specifically catfish trout stocking. So I guess in layman's terms, they're going to discontinue much of the funds for restocking this trout, which I guess would affect then, obviously, the fishermen.
Mm-hmm. But is it an actual cut or reallocation, or is it she just didn't simply request more money, or she's diverting the money or reusing it? What can we go away with concluding here?
Well, we still have to look at the paper trail a little more closely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, really, she says $3 million less over the next 2 years, but as far as I can see, from now until next year, there's only a $400,000 less. So that means there's going to be a huge drop either for the next year in 2011, or we don't know what's happening and this money is being diverted and reallocated somewhere.
Right. So, Louis, what do you think about that? I mean, you've been following the money. Your sign said yesterday, follow the money.
Yeah, well, I try. We try. But I can't make any sense of it. It just seems like she's targeting fishing. It seems to me that we have anti-fishing people making policy without the public having a chance to express what they want. Mm-hmm. And the public clearly, with 3,000 people showing up at Coquay on opening day, and the many, many thousands of people that go for the catfish, I think the public has clearly expressed their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They want catfish. They want trout. They want the moy. They want what's being done at that hatchery to continue as is, unchanged.
Mm-hmm.
And to be taking away little bits of money is nickel-diming. It's really just a reason to attack sport fishing. And,
mm-hmm.
and in actual fact, the money is supposed to be allocated for sports fish restoration, not for mm-hmm. these proposed programs that she's talking about with sea urchins and limu and whatever, habitat research. There are other funds that you could go after for that sort of thing.
Now, you're clearly not in opposition of research and for habitat improvement. What you're really concerned with is the fact that the federal government gives funding to this. It's a 3-to-1 matching. The federal government gives $3 to the states, $1. And this money is already available. And through requests from Thielen, from the DLNR to the federal government of Fish and Wildlife Service, who administer this program. So the problem here seems to be, and I too have checked into it, and what I'm seeing is a substantial effort to just simply take existing programs, and let's back up here. She put in for the Renaissance Recreation Program. We need to make sure that we don't leave the listener just sitting there going, we're tossing our lot. Let's try and lay it out for them. Thielen has this program called the Renaissance Recreation
Program. The Recreation Renaissance.
The Recreation Renaissance. She attempted to get that funded. Did she get it funded?
No, it passed through the House, and then after it went through the House, it ended up getting canceled very late in the legislative session. So she thought she was going to get it passed, but it didn't in the end.
So she did not get it passed. So she had these desires to do sea urchins and on and on, right?
Yeah, she's taking the money away from sports fishing to continue some of the ideas with recreational renaissance, even though it wasn't passed.
Right, it wasn't passed. So these ideas, so she had no funding. So basically, what it boils down to, as clearly as I can see it in interviewing, and I think, Scott, you'll be disclosing a lot of this in your article, and Louis, you've talked about it, but she got no funding from the state legislators, so she looked over to her left or over her shoulder, and as the workers and her subordinates describe it, Laura wanted this.
Exactly.
There was no such thing as a budget cut. There was simply the legislators didn't allocate money for her dream project. And so it's not a budget cut. Unfortunately, some of the media is reporting it's all due to a budget cut. There was no cutting in this. She chose, as described by her staff assistants and what have you, and the administrators, it is Laura. As they say, they didn't say the director. They say Laura.
Yeah.
Did this, and it's her prerogative because she has that authority. So clearly I want to let the public know that this has nothing to do with budget cuts. This is money that was not threatened, that already had been funded for last year.
It was approved by the legislature.
And approved. No. I mean, this money here, this that funded the hatcheries and all, was already in place in 3-to-1 matching. So she put in a new funding request, right?
Yes.
Which is now waiting for approval from the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing. It's the misinformation that I noticed she has been on a good campaign, she being Laura Thielen, a good campaign, and to share with the public also out there. There's been many people that I've spoken to, and they're deathly afraid of her. She, as they describe, a lot of them head is on the chopping block if they were to speak out and tell the truth about this.
Exactly.
There's simply not a budget cut.
We actually had a member of the hatchery staff come to our demonstration yesterday because he's really well versed on this subject, but he's so far along, close to retirement, he doesn't care if he gets, but he says every other hatchery person has been warned not to talk to the media, not to come to any rallies, not to say anything. In fact, when some of the media showed up down there at the hatchery, they reckon it hit the fan. She was really upset that they were even allowed there. And it's a public facility. Anyone's allowed there to go and have a look at the fish.
Right.
And that man who actually does work for the Inuinui, who did show up to the protest, who may have been the long-standing guy who wouldn't get fired,
yes.
I actually tried to interview him. And he said no because he was in fear of retribution as well, even him. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's true that these guys definitely... definitely don't feel like coming out, even though because of their job.
And that's a terrible way to run a department. And you know, to me, I just can't understand it. She has all these experts with years and years of expertise in aquaculture and raising the trout, the catfish, the moy, and everything, and she's not listening to any of them as far as I can see. They are all dead against what she's trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's unfortunate that we get these folks appointed, and in turn, they come in with their own dreams and desires, and each administration presents us with someone that will present us with a problem. But, Scott, you have actually come up with some other information that is sort of is consistent with this underhanded, heavy-handed practice at by Thielen, and something involving a water supply and the DLNR. Can you tell us what is going on there? What did you find?
Burl, from as far as I can gather, the Board of Water Supply and DLNR, specifically Laura Thielen, have been in correspondence since at least September 30th of 2008, which we have a letter saying that on September 2nd, and on September 30th of 2008, there was a deadline to reach an agreement to transfer the New Uwanu Reservoir number 4 parcel over to DLNR from the Board of Water Supply, who currently owns all of the reservoir and manages it all, And Laura Thielen said, quote, that deadline will be problematic. And so they gave an extension, it looks like, until this year, a year later, September 30th, 2009. And according to a letter from the Board of Water Supply, the New Uwanu Reservoir number 4 will be decommissioned if an agreement, if DLNR does not take over management of the reservoir number 4, which Laura has not done yet, not agreed to do.
So, Louis, what do you think?
This is crazy. I mean, I don't understand any of it. I heard that she's already sent all the catfish up there that were really not quite mature enough to go up there. So she's just recently stocked it, and she's known full well for over a year or maybe even longer that place was going to be decommissioned. She had an opportunity to take that and maintain it and manage it as a public fishery and keep it all going, and she hasn't done a thing about it, and she hasn't told the public about it either.
So, I'm always reluctant to say someone has lied to us, because if you don't speak it, then does it become a lie?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends how you... If you don't tell the public, and you should tell them if you know about such an issue, I mean...
So, we didn't stumble through it, but now let's go back and, like we're going to sell something here. Let's repeat what we told them. And that is, so the Board of Water Supply, at least a year ago, and I confirmed some of this in other conversations with some of the staff, that they had had years back discussing giving the Board of Water Supply, giving the use of the New Uwanu solely to the DLNR for the catfish project or the program. Or let them have it, manage it, and all. The DLNR drug their feet and didn't accept it. So Board of Water Supply offered again, right?
Right.
Told them you can have it with this full management. So Laura Thielen wouldn't have to cut the program or kill the program. What she could do is enhance the program, because now she would have management of the waters and it would be solely under the jurisdiction of DLNR. She never told the public that, right? I've never seen that she has had the opportunity to take possession of that and enhance that catfish fisheries, opposed to doing away with it. And some of the other stuff that she advanced out in the public and the media is that she's going to take these fish, Louis, and she's not going to put any more babies out there after this year.
Yeah, crazy.
But she has a letter to her that by 2010, January 1, 2010, they're going to decommission the reservoir, so she couldn't fish in it anyway. So why does she need the money?
Exactly.
Well, instead of enhancing it, the statewide freshwater fisheries division is losing its grant for restocking those fish for $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then the other thing, another interesting thing is that she said that she's going to allow she's pretending to allow people to keep fishing there, and the fish will reproduce naturally. Well, anyone who fishes up there knows, and who knows much about catfish, knows that they will not reproduce. The minute they lay an egg, the zillions of tilapia will eat every single egg and every fry. So within a short time, you'll have no catfish and a lot of tilapia, and that's about it.
Oh, wow. Well, if you guys would hold on, we got a little community notification I want to help. I have Miss Marsha Joyner on, and she's going to tell us about an event down here in Chinatown that's coming up in July 18th, so regarding an animal walk and whatever benefit. Good morning, Marsha. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, I hope I gave a halfway decent, was I accurate in what it is? Or tell us, what's your event coming up?
It's Pet on Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sponsored by the Arts District Merchants Association and the Hawaii Pet Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And all pets are invited.
Mm-hmm.
And all pets must be accompanied by a human on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
so no. Okay.
And it's a fundraiser, and it'll benefit the Hepatitis Support Network of Hawaii.
Okay.
Now, first, everybody will gather at the beautiful courtyard, which is on Smith Street, right next to the Ramsey Gallery. Do you know where that is?
Yes, in Chinatown.
In Chinatown.
Smith Street at the Ramsey Gallery.
Next to Ramsey's Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful little courtyard in the Mundanka building.
Okay.
So all the pets will gather there, and then there'll be a blessing. We have to bless these animals that give us unconditional love. I was listening to you about the fish, and see, we as humans just don't pay enough attention to all the benefits we get from nature and from the other animals. And so we want to take, before we do anything, to bless these animals for all the unconditional love they give us. And this is not just for dogs, but cats and birds and whatever other kind of pet that you might have, because we all love different kinds of things, and so it's an opportunity to do that.
Okay, so...
And then, after they gather there and have the blessing, we will go on a walk throughout the Arts District and stop at different places, and different galleries and restaurants will be expecting us, and they'll have water for the animals and treats. And it'll be a really fun day, and all of the money goes to the Hepatitis Support Network. As you may know, hepatitis, Hawaii leads the nation in liver cancers,
mm-hmm.
most of which are caused by hepatitis. And because we have such a huge immigrant population, we have a huge amount of hepatitis. And we call it a silent epidemic, because it has no outward symptoms before it's too late. I mean, you can walk around with this thing for 30 years and then one day you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that we really need to call attention to this. We had testing in Chinatown a couple years ago, and we had a 25% positive rate. So we really need to call attention to this.
Okay.
Hepatitis is more deadly than HIV, but the HIV people have really been good about calling attention to it, letting people know how deadly it is, and we need to do the same with hepatitis.
Okay, so the pet walk will be again, the date?
July 18th at 4 o'clock.
Okay, and 4 p.m.
Yes, 1126 Smith Street.
Is there a phone number anyone can call if they want to contact? Is there
for 741-4612.
741-4612.
Yes, and we can have vendors also if the people that are your guests about the fish, if they want to have a information booth, they're welcome to come also.
Okay. Well, we'll get with it and run it again and keep inviting the public. So thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for all you're doing.
All righty. Aloha. All righty. I don't need to apologize for that. Anytime anybody's doing anything good, you can interrupt me. I don't mind. I don't take it personal. So it just feels good, you know. But Louis, you looked a little bluesy the other day with that. And to be honest with you, I watched this. And today there's this humongous spread on the DLNR. And it's unfortunate that they have such access in the hard-hitting questions that should be asked in these issues of the DLNR or the chairperson. They go unasked, and they darn sure are not going to get answered. Mm-hmm. And then, for example, this article, and not to be critical, it's not my place to tell other media sources, I don't have an issue with them, but just to point out, and we were going to talk about this anyway today, right?
Right.
So, just to give you, there's this beautiful article. I mean, when I worked for Fish and Game in California, it was great to see an article, you know, promoting it. But in this state, right now, we don't have a chief of law enforcement, a permanent chief of law enforcement. He stepped down in April. So that position has been vacant. Ms. Thielen has conducted interviews, left the position open, and she won't answer questions, but she has pre-selected someone from the United States Coast Guard, who's still active duty in the United States Coast Guard. You see, we don't ask those kinds of questions. And so, but, you know, I've never received a call from her to say she'd like to come on and talk about anything, but she finds herself being the exposés in the paper, and it is shameful. On Big Island, we have an acting chief, their branch chief, and some of the other islands, acting. So what is it? She's gutted all the system, just like that, diverting these monies. What is she doing with the salaries? The deputy law enforcement chief here, also, that position is vacant, and they're having acting. So what's happening with their salaries? Is that being diverted too? So this is shameful, because you can look good, but can you be good or do good? Are you effective? But anyway, that's consistent with this. Nobody wants to talk. And Scott, what other points have you talked? You interviewed Laura Thielen. When was this?
About 4 days ago, three days.
And what other stuff that you talked with? I mean, I know you're going to have a complete article in the Hawaii Fishing News in this coming month, but issue. But what?
Well, I think her main argument was, she's saying, why is the Board of Water Supply walking away after taking care of the fisheries since its very earliest days?
Mm-hmm.
And so she sort of looks like to be pointing the finger back at them. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go ahead and conduct another interview with the Board of Water Supply to see their take on it, right? But
welcome to the world of following the money.
So Laura basically says, as long as the Board of Water Supply is operating the reservoir, then DLNR is more than happy to manage the fishing program there.
Right.
However, she says she can't have the funds to take over an entire reservoir that they're asking her to do. So, she said she's underfunded is what she's saying.
But, Louis, you know, this strikes a sensitive nerve here, because she's saying we can't do this, and it's funded, but then she's introducing new projects.
Exactly.
That's puzzling. What do you think? I mean, I don't see the outrage in the community out there. It's like...
Well, you know, I haven't had a lot of details on these new projects, but my wife is a student of marine ecology, and I think from one of the emails I got the idea that maybe there's something to do with sea urchins and sea urchins controlling the introduced... weed, ogo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife actually did work on that at Coconut Island, and I don't think there's really been any discoveries or advances, at least not enough to warrant chopping the hatchery
mm-hmm.
and replacing it with these experimental programs,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, we have successful programs going on at the hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we bring in other people that are going to do things that are of dubious value, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to me. And we the successful programs at the hatchery affect thousands of people.
Right.
Make thousands of people happy. You know, families. We had, you know, we had people yesterday on the picket line mm-hmm. represented out there that white mother, kids, they all go to the, and it's really, it's very hugely popular.
Yeah. You know, and Scott, I'll let you get your point. We're in a terrible financial situation. Our economy is shaky, right? Now, this administration, here is an entity within this administration conducting itself, just to describe, the Nuuanu fishing activity or program brings in revenue because what happens? People buy tackle, people buy ice, right? People buy food and sandwiches and
licenses.
Licenses just for that event. So now, though it may not be monstrous, we would never know how much does that Nuuanu fishing activity represent and it contribute to the local community. But I tell you what, I'd like to ask some of the stores that sell the ice and sell the foods and the lures and all that, and ask them, will you see any substantial? So here is a program that she's just going to gut it and not looking at the to satisfy. And I can tell you, I've interviewed the folks over there at the hatchery and other places, and what they've said is that this is just a boondoggle on her part to pay back her friends who's in UH and who's coming with new ideas. And how are you going to train a sea urchin to eat only introduced ogo or seaweed?
Exactly. Well,
so you're going to threaten the native plants, right?
Some scientist is going to be living high on the hog on a grant for years on that premise.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way a lot of these things go, you know, go on. I can't understand it sometimes. I mean, mm-hmm. they get these really weird experimental ideas, and they can get grants for that. But they don't need to be taking our grant for sport fish restoration. They can get
right.
their own grant.
Yeah.
There are plenty of grants that will fund these, you know, pie in the sky ideas.
And yeah, they, again, it's still the money is there, and she's just spending it somewhere else. And then having the audacity to go to the media and tell them, oh, everything's fine, there's budget cuts, and suggesting that, and there, while there's no budget cuts with these specific programs, it's reallocation on her part, diversion, or
yeah.
diverting of the monies. Scott, you got...
Well, and even though a lot of public outcry hasn't specifically been brought to her attention, although she says some people have been working with her,
mm-hmm.
That's maybe also because of the fact that there was no public notification or mm-hmm. formal document or anything shown, but... On top of that, she must know, though, that these fisheries mean a lot to people, whether or not how many people have spoken, because I just looked at a document that said 74% of all Hawaii residents as a cumulative state support sports fishing, and that's according to a DLNR Aquatic Resources page. So mm-hmm. she knows that they've surveyed these people, and the island does care about it.
And that's money they spent to do the surveys, and so up pops the weasel, Laurel, and then in turn, my friends who's in the conservation community would love to do this. We can't get it funded. Well, no problem. I'm the chairman, our chairperson, chairwoman. I can do it because I'm the boss. And then, so some of the real issues here is that she has failed to give public notice. And listen, that's what I've missed in some of these articles. You know, she may have the right to do it, but what a tragic and sudden action, right? It's drastic.
Yeah.
So we've had this program for, what, 16 and some of 90 years?
The trout have been there for 90 years.
90 years.
And I think the catfish have been there since 1961, I think, it started up there.
And up pops the weasel and overnight, not telling you that she could have gotten, for example, the Nuuanu Reservoir, and it could be forever.
Yeah.
But she refused to do that. And one of the explanations was that was told to me was that, well, we don't want it because... if we own a dam, it would be unsafe. Here's another point that I got through discussion, some of the staff, is that the Board of Water Supply also has indicated to Thielen that they're going to have to drain the reservoir, draw it down, to dig out the silt, right? Because, it, you know, once the silt is too silted, then you got to dig it out. And has told her she would have to pull the catfish out, reduce the number of... So she knew that information, but yet she didn't tell the federal government, well, there wouldn't be any need for this money this year, because if we're going to take out all of the fish and the public can't go there... And by the way, while I have your ear, in 2010, January 1, they're going to kill the project, decommission the reservoir anyway, because we, DLNR, refuse to accept ownership and management of the reservoir, so there won't be any fish anyway. So, by the way, I'm returning the money that was allocated that you've granted us for catfish, right? So something's wrong with this picture, and unfortunately, we're not seeing those things answered, and we see these colorful articles that she is withholding. And I don't expect everybody in the media to know all of this, because it's just not, she's not going to tell it, and she's kept it quiet. But you have the actual letters, right, Scott?
Yeah, there's a couple letters from between her and the Board of Water Supply. You know, they've been in correspondence for a few years, knowing that this was going to come up and happen, and that deadlines had passed, and a new one came up. And so to say she didn't know, or whatever reason she's going to end up giving why the notification wasn't sent out to public, I mean, it's really, I'm a journalist, so I can't say inexcusable. That would just be too opinionated. But we're just going to have to dig a little deeper, find all these facts, and just bring to light exactly what is going on, and much of which is true that we've been saying here, just to give that big picture of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't want you sharing any opinions when you write an article.
No.
I've never done that.
Well, I'm also was pretty concerned, because when I first started investigating all of this and got and the first thing I did was to call the DLNR, and I spoke to a number of people. Of course, we can't mention any of their names, because I've already been told by Laura's secretary, quote, they're all in big trouble.
Yeah.
That's exactly what she said when I said that I'd been talking to people. But what they said, what they told me was, this is Laura's directive, Laura's decision. Those trout are going to be sent prematurely to Kauai, and they're probably all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So then at that point, we had a Trout Unlimited meeting. We coming up with solutions, and we came up with some good ideas. We came up with, either a bunch of our members would meet those trout when they arrived on Kauai, because they're just little, 1 and 1.5 inch long trout. And they're not going to survive all that well, but we can take them up into the headwaters of the streams and manually carry them in a knapsack in plastic bags, you know, and that would help. So we had these ideas. We also had another idea about, let's start looking at forming a hatchery and schools. And the president of Trout Unlimited contacted Waimea School in Kauai and Punahou. And both of them very positive about having a hatchery program there. And then all of a sudden, within the last few days, we hear Laura Thielen saying that she's got this idea about having hatcheries in the school. Well, it's nice that she's taken our idea and wants to run with it, whether it's her idea or not, you know. I mean, but all of those ideas were because we had this emergency with the trout.
Right.
If we just leave the trout alone in the hatchery at Sand Island, they'll mature to the right size and go back and go to Kauai at the right time, and we'll have a trout season next year on Kauai.
Like the old saying, Louis, be careful of what you say in front of children and chairmen of the DLNR.
Exactly.
they will turn around. But anyway, if you want to join in, you can call in at 524-1080. And we'll be posting some of the pictures of the protests and some video at carolcox.com, CARROLLCOX.com. So anyway, I look at this as there's a bigger story being told here, and I don't know the cocaine situation, but how many people come out of state, or how many people do you think from Honolulu or other islands fly to cocaine to fish for trout?
Well, my brother is there now, and I'm supposed to go sometime in the next week or two to go take him trout fishing. He's already bought a license. He bought an out-of-state license. That's a $25 license.
And where is he from?
He's from Connecticut.
So he flew from here to go there to fish
One of my clients, one of my bone fishing clients that I guide, just spent, he lives on the Big Island, and he has the option of flying to the mainland where he can catch really big trout in many, many places.
Mm-hmm.
He just spent $5,000 on his two-week-long holiday on Kauai just to spend it to catch the trout on Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's a resident of Hawaii, but he's a fly fisherman, so he had the option of going out of state, and he spent his money in state. And that's just the two that I know. I mean, because I don't keep close track of this sort of thing, but I'm sure the DLNR does.
It sounds like this administration is schizophrenic. You know? While on one hand they're complaining the economy is bad, on the other their underlings or department heads are making it worse.
Yeah. And how much money can do they get from licenses? That must go,
yeah.
You know, go toward. Well, where does
it go? If
it
gets canceled, will they refund those licenses?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead. That's I was going to hope to talk about that.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
guys, tell the public.
Yeah, we paid for a license for the whole next year.
Right.
And if there's not going to be a fishery next year,
right.
Are they going to give us our money back on the licenses? What's the story there?
Right, and I asked Laura whether or not she would, but she was saying she still doesn't know whether it's going to be canceled or not.
Mm-hmm.
So she couldn't really speak to that.
Well, I think she should retroactively give the people's monies back because the Board of Water Supply has told her in their June 22nd letter, Dear Ms. Thielen, by September 30th, 2009, if you haven't accepted this agreement to take possession of this new Nuuana Reservoir, we will shut it down January 1, 2010. So Laura Thielen is obligated to either take over or give the people the money back because she knows there won't be a fishing there, and so why would she sell a license knowing it's going to shut down?
If she doesn't give them the full money back, then, right, at least some prorated type of thing. And otherwise, what would happen, Louis? What would the fishermen say?
Well, I think they'd be upset. I mean, I think a big percentage of the people that buy licenses buy it for those two fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
Some people buy it for Lake Wilson. And there's also some question about Lake Wilson. Right at the moment, the DLNR, I guess, has drained, or not drained, but lowered the level of Lake
mm-hmm.
Wilson because they said they're doing some work up there. But we've heard rumors over the years that they would like to shut down Lake Wilson as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any sense. It's well used, and many, many people. It's a real successful fishery, and it actually doesn't cost them much because they don't need to stock it. It's peacock bass, and they spawn effectively. The difference between catfish and peacock bass is catfish don't protect their eggs. Peacock bass protect them to the death.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's going to sneak in and eat the eggs or the babies. When the babies hatch, they go into the peacock bass's mouth,
mm-hmm.
and she spits them out and lets them swim around a little bit. Until they're bigger, you know. So
mouth brooders,
yeah. So
well, you know, all I can say, I'm hoping the listeners out there, and especially the fishermen, don't let Laura off the hook on this one.
Exactly. What they should be doing is they should be contacting their representative, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little experience doing that this week, and I found out if you just email REPS, reps, at capital.hawaii.gov, you get every representative when you send an email out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a fisherman and you're upset about this and you like your catfish and you like your trout fishing, I think you need to be sending emails to the representatives and to the senators as well. You can send it REPS to the representatives and SENS sends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sent to the same address, capital.hawaii.gov, and that gets all the senators as well.
Yeah, and so...
And I also got a letter from Representative Tokioka
mm-hmm.
on Kauai, and he in very much in support of what we're trying to do.
Okay.
He's very upset about what goes on. I didn't bring his letter, but I should have. But, you know, he does. This affects Kauai very in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've gotten three calls, and each of those calls, apparently they watched the news yesterday, seeing the protests, and
mm-hmm.
their suggestion straight out was, Laura Thielen needs to be fired. She needs to resign. Now, I don't expect you guys to jump on the bandwagon of that, especially you, Scott, writing an article, but you don't have any, shouldn't have any interest in one way or the other, but me, having dealt with this and knowing right now the law enforcement head is not present, that she is finagling and leaving this position open to help a friend in the United States Coast Guard who's going to retire to come get the job. So she held the job open. Not only that, she only interviewed one person in the second level of interviews. And there were more qualified people than this gentleman from the United States Coast Guard. So this is the games. This and the folks out there. We've talked in the past about the super ferry and all of that. And I've mentioned that the United States Coast Guard goes over to enforce the law while the governor was doing an illegal act and the legislators condoning an illegal act by bringing in the super ferry without the EIS. So they were glad to go over without asking the governor, "Are we enforcing legal actions? Are these actions legal? Or what the people doing? Do they have a right to protest? Maybe we should be arresting you, Governor, for doing this illegal act." But unfortunately, she's immune to this, apparently. But the bigger problem is she is now, she being Thielen, is rewarding the Coast Guard head who would be commanding or in command of, in line of the Kauai incident and in Maui, you know, cordoning off the area, making it a secure zone and enforcing it. But she's holding that position, and those of you that don't believe it, call her up and ask her who is the chief and who has she interviewed and who did she not interview. There were special agents with the Department of NOAA, National Oceanic Atmosphere, National Marine Fisheries Service, 20-some years or more in law enforcement. Deputy chief here in law enforcement doing exactly what it calls for and better job. Interviewed him one time and didn't forward him on and refer him to the interview later. But the Coast Guard person, she's handpicked him and left the position open. How irresponsible is that?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I've heard a lot of complaints.
Yeah.
But
so, you know, I try to talk turkey and the facts and being specifics, but this is something that, you know, and this goes on. If she's doing it here, the DLNR, Historic Preservation Foundation, Agency, and boating, all of that calls her actions into play and her integrity, because there's some backhanded, underhanded, backdoor dealings that she's not willing to. And what it is, she's giving her friends golden parachutes, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I mean, Carol, these investigative reports that are coming out that you and other people alike are helping to do, you know, just they do need to get out there, because I'm a journalist, and looking at these Honolulu Advertiser and Star Bulletin and the kinds of papers, stories they write, they usually, and I don't like to sound critical too much, but they're kind of fluff stories, if you will. They don't ask, like you say, the tough questions, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. It's as I say, I never, because unless you know or have someone to call you up, certain things you wouldn't know. But this this Thielen, she's slick. I mean, if fish oil was good for you, then she's slick. She must, I mean, she must tan in it daily, because I've never seen a slick, and I've worked in many states in conservation. I've never seen one as arrogant, one as who just simply does not own up to the ownership of being open and transparent about her actions. This action to close down the Nu'uanu Reservoir and then to take the Anuenue Hatchery and gut it. And then, and back up for a minute. We know that what I was told by some of the workers down there who closely involved with the at the hatchery, that part of that MOI program is to determine the genetics of it so that they would, in case the MOI that is cage raised or the farm raised MOI got out, how would it impact the state, the native MOI?
And that's something that should have been done by the people that are commercially raising more,
yeah, they
not by the state of Hawaii.
Exactly. They should have done that. Now, that's not...
Before they even went into operation.
Right. Now, that's not Thielen's fault there. Other knuckleheads did it, you know.
Yeah.
But again, we're taking federal money and state money to do what an environmental assessment should have done to see what this introduced species would do to the wild population. But instead, we are now asking for the money and doing the genetics while the cages are out there raising fish.
Mm-hmm. And I was also told where that some of the genetics are producing a mega moy that can lay a lot of eggs and breed in captivity. So that could be good, too, for the fishermen here.
Yep. But anyway, I appreciate you guys coming in, and I don't know if we answered a lot of questions, but Scott, you're going to be in have an article in the Hawaii Fishing News this coming month, right? And I hope that you have the same vigor and to keep digging.
Yeah.
You know, and next week you can come back and just say Scott's graduated from Washington State University and going to further his studies in journalism.
Actually, Eastern Washington University, but what's the difference? It's a great one.
Eastern Washington, as long as you become a good journalist and an honest one, look out for the people.
Well,
you sell us fluff, we're going to pull your card.
Well, the people are going to be the ones that are happy. The government's going to be the ones that looks out if the way things play out these days. But
well, okay. And Louis, thank you. And I ask you to... Louis plays a pretty good harmonica, folks, so... Go
okay,
ahead,
yeah,
Louis,
right.
And give us a little bluesy, Louis.
Well, if Laura has her way and the fishermen of Hawaii lose their two fisheries, they're going to be singing the fishing blues, and this is Fishing Blues.
Show, and thank you for joining us. See you next week. Thanks, Scott and Louis.
KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.